Emma Thomas in Calais there. She's made it back to the UK on the train, I think. Properly, legitimately.
Yes, yeah, so we had a ticket to get through and they saw my passport and everything.
Excellent.
So I'm allowed
to
be
nice,
here.
Nice to have you back. Let's go back to the beginning there. So a family left an eight-year-old boy in the jungle.
Yeah.
And just came over on their own. Is that how it is? It's everyone for themselves, is it?
In a way, I think it's the desperation that I think the parents, perhaps some parents I spoke to when I was there, genuinely felt that them getting one foot, or both of their own feet, I guess, into the UK, hoping their son would be able to follow them and meet up with them, genuinely think that's the best thing for their child. There is this desperation to get to the UK. Some people know what it's really like here. Some people, I think, have this perfect image of what the UK is like that isn't a reality.
And so who's looking after the children then?
There's just this sense of community there. I was sad to leave, which must sound... I was very, very glad to get away from the smell and the condensed conditions, but I was sad to leave because there is a real sense of community that everybody seems to be looking out for each other and that they're all in this desperate situation from all countries all over the world just trying to protect each other. As you might have heard there, the injuries that a lot of people have are when they're trying to get onto a lorry, into the tunnel. You know, I saw a lot of the time men, children being carried back, and they've been carried miles, like a two-hour walk from where the tunnel is back to the camp because they've injured themselves. And they go en masse knowing that, you know, they say to me in the numbers, if 1,000 of us run a night, 3 or 4 might make it to the UK, 1 or 2 might die, the rest of us will come back disappointed, but at least we've all tried.
Sounds like a war, almost. I mean, it's the kind of thing you'd hear coming back from one of the wars, isn't it? How condensed is it then? How many people are there in this camp and how big is it?
The camp, I was trying to work it out last night. It's probably about the size of, say, four football pitches. But they think there's maybe 3,000 people there. I would put that number at a lot higher because there's no official register. That's just charities trying to work out. But it is, I mean, there's photographs that I'll be putting up on our social media today that it is just so condensed. I mean, you imagine tents. This is not, you know, a campsite somewhere in Wales where you've got a lovely plot. This is tents that are basically pieces of tarpaulin and wood cramped together. You know, there was one tent that was a proper tent, if you like, that had been donated, which is probably would sleep a family of 3. I think there was 9 men in there, basically people piled on top of each other.
And given that the reason they're there is to try and jump on a train at night, it seems, what do they do all day?
Well, I think they will tend to, say around 5 p.m, you will smell the restaurants because in some of these tents, they've set up like there's an Afghan square, they call it, a quarter with restaurants where they're all cooking food. And also one of the charities cooks food at 5 p.m, where if you queue up from early enough in the morning, you'll get a meal. So you'll smell all the food then. They'll spend the evening socialising, for want of a better word, about midnight, leave for the train, come back in the early hours of the morning, and then maybe sleep for part of the day or actually do a lot of cleaning. In the morning, our queues started again for medical aid, but you'll go and there are some taps that have been set up on the camp, so people will be going washing the one pair of socks they own or the one t-shirt they own and then trying to dry it to put it back on.
Why are they so keen to come here?
For some people it's to have human rights, they believe they'll get them here. For some people it is this illusion that the problems will be solved, they won't be mistreated. In the early hours of one of the mornings, I was sat talking to an Afghani guy and he was pointing at the tents. He was an older guy, probably about 50, and his English wasn't as good as some of the others. And he was saying to me, no tents in England, no tents, as in to say nobody's homeless. And I looked him in the eye and said, we have homeless people in England. We have people living on the poverty line. And he looked at me confused, not really wanting to believe me, thinking, not convinced by that. And you have some of the people who have actually been here before. I think there's a guy in a clip you might be playing later who I met who was chatting to who for 7 years ran a hand car wash in Wolverhampton and used to live here before but had to leave for one reason or another to visit family. He's now trying to get in with his own children. And they just have this impression that England is going to treat them fairly.
How do the French respond to what's going on in their own country?
The only French I saw at the camp, apart from a couple of language teachers from Paris, some young women who'd come to teach in the schools that they've built in tents there, was 12 van loads of riot police who arrived mid-afternoon on Friday, full gear, armed, patrolling. Which, to be honest, as somebody who's 5'2" myself, 12 riot vans of very tall French police walking past me, it absolutely changed the atmosphere of the camp completely. There was an hour of just tense fear. When beforehand, I'd actually just been sat in a music lesson where people were learning to play the guitar. So it was quite a contrast.
I can imagine. It's fascinating.